Amen. Can we give God the praise one more time? Can we give Him the praise? It's a great day to be together. All right, have a seat, please. Have a seat. My name is Nathan, one of the pastors here. I want to welcome you to RCC for the first time. And we're so grateful you came to be part of this special day. And we're excited because nothing is happening in a couple, next week, actually, April 14th. Welcome, RCC. If you've never been there, it actually happens right now. And it's at 10 o'clock. And we encourage you to go to 8:30 service or go to 11:30 service and then come to welcome RCC at 10 o'clock. That's happening next week. If you've never been, that's your next step. And I promise it's a great way to know how to plug in and get involved here at RCC. Hey, I want to encourage you with this. So appreciative of Easter. And I want to give you an update of kind of how Easter went. Last year in 2023, we had a great group of people who showed up for Easter. We had 2,483 people. It was pretty amazing last year, 2023. Almost 2,500 people showed up. And we were just amazed. We were so grateful. But we were like, man, it'd be great to have at least 3,000, you know, in 2024. We thought that was a little audacious. But you guys, it's amazing. You got the word out. You shared about the Easter services with people. And I want you to know what happened. We had 266 people show up for Easter 2024. Isn't that amazing? Over 3,000 people. And I just want to say a big thank you for those of you who made room. And I know you 10 o'clock people, you guys, you know, you shifted around. And appreciate so much you guys doing that. Also, all those who volunteered, I'm so appreciative to be part of a church that really wants to make room for more people to come hear about Jesus. This is such a special day that I'm praying that if someone's watching online, that your response will be to get in the car and come down here and be a part of what's going to be happening today. And if you can't make this service, make our next service, because it's pretty amazing. It's been awesome. We've had 14 people get baptized. I don't know how many people got baptized last service. Can we give God the praise for that? I have no idea. It's just God's moving, and it's going to get awesomer. So either have good preaching or good grammar, okay? You can't have both, okay? So today we're going to do what Jesus would do. And today we're going to talk about how Jesus got baptized and why he commanded everyone who follows him to be baptized as well, which is why you see someone almost getting baptized every week here at RCC. So I want to show you my cards right now. We believe that the baptism was such a big deal for Jesus that for Peter and Paul and the New Testament church, that if you're a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized by immersion, that we're going to encourage you in the name of Jesus to be baptized today. Now, this is such an audacious ask. So you might be wondering why. Like, why is this religious ritual such a big deal here at RCC that every single member of our church family has been baptized by immersion just like Jesus? And that might be the answer right there, just like Jesus. And I want to suggest this. Baptism is not a meaningless ritual. It's an experience with Jesus. If you put your faith in him, it'll bless you in ways I promise that you will never, ever forget. Sometimes people ask this, and Nathan, I think I was baptized when I was a kid. I just can't remember. I was pretty young. And family, can I just tell you with all my heart, if you've been baptized the way the Lord Jesus taught us to be baptized, you can never forget that. And you can receive that blessing today. So let's begin what the New Testament teaches about baptism. I just want to be really honest with you. Here at RCC, don't go by what I say. Don't go by what your grandma says. Don't go by what anybody else says. Let's go by what the Word of God says. Amen? So we're going to look at what the Word of God says about baptism. Because I know people have strong opinions about it, but they've never studied what Jesus said. So let's start with what Jesus said, because I promise you this, that no New Testament writer disagrees with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Now, in the last chapter of Matthew, Jesus is resurrected, which we celebrated last week. And then he gives something called the Great Commission after his resurrection. And this passage fuels, it's like the engine that fuels us here at RCC. This is where our mission comes from, to win people to Jesus, train believers, and unleash compassion. It comes right here from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus says, go and do what, church? Say it with me. Go and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and doing what? Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Did you catch that? It's not enough just to believe in God. You have to believe in also God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You got to believe in all of them, because they're all one. Teaching We teach to obey. Everybody say obey on the count of three. One, two, three. Obey. Everything I've commanded, Jesus says, including this commandment to be baptized, every disciple of Jesus is baptized. Now, the question I have is, you ever wondered why? After his resurrection, Jesus commanded baptism for every single disciple. I mean, it just kind of seems a little random. Why did he command us to immerse new believers in water? I have a friend of mine who came to RCC from a denominational church, and his parents had him, you know, sprinkle when he was young, and he wasn't too keen on the idea of being immersed as an adult. And he asked me, you know, I said, he said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. I want to sit down and talk with you and understand why you think I should be dunked. That's how he put it. He kind of a straight shooter, you know. And he'd been coming to church for a while, seeing other adults from his denomination come here that he knew get immersed. And he wondered why. And family, that's a great question with a great answer. About 1,000 years ago in the Dark Ages, certain churches started teaching that if you sprinkled a baby in church, automatically that baby's a Christian, whether they knew it or not, whether they had faith or not. It's like the Jewish idea that if you circumcise a baby, right? If you baptize a little baby, then all of a sudden they're Christian. Just a Jewish boy is now a Jew. It has been circumcised, you know. And so I just want you to know there's not a single word of that evidence in Scripture. Once again, we don't go by what I say, go by what Scripture says. And consequently, new babies started being sprinkled and told years, oh, yeah, you're a Christian now. You know, you're good to go. You can confirm that later if you choose to, but pretty much you're fine. And I just want you to know there's no evidence of that in the Bible. There's not one single example of that. Zero. And so 500 years later, or years ago, the Protestant reformers named Martin Luther strongly objected to this teaching. It's called baptism regeneration, insisting that anyone who wants to follow Jesus must make a response in faith. So he was against baptismal regeneration. He says you must put your faith in Christ before you become his follower. Because with God, nothing spiritual counts unless it's operated out of faith in Jesus. So following Jesus, I want you to hear me, is not a decision that anyone like your parents can make for you. Like nobody can make that decision for me. I had to make it. You have to choose to put your faith in Jesus. So accurately, the reformers taught that you can be baptized to your water log so you know every fish in the sea by name. But if it's not an extension of your personal faith in Jesus, in the end, you'll be one soaked, unsaved sinner. But also the Protestant reformers, I think, overreacted, went to the opposite extreme, leaving the impression that baptism has no real connection to giving your life to Jesus. It's just kind of a sweet little religious ritual that someone ought to do if they feel like it. And I want you to know, if you believe this, that the baptism has no real significance, Jesus would completely disagree with that. Do you think God would ask you to do anything without significance? I mean, God has good, listen, significant reasons behind every command. Amen? And so, on this special day, we've been praying about for many people, many of you, to come to faith, that you be baptized. Let me ask you this question. Why is our baptism so important to Jesus? And why does Jesus command every disciple to be baptized? So much so that we got a jacuzzi for Jesus in our own building right here over to your far right, a baptistry. Why do we do that? Well, number one is this. Being baptized meets our need for expression of faith. Now, God has created us in such a way that every emotion has an expression, right? When you're sad, you cry. When you are happy, you laugh. When you are in love, you embrace. I love what William James said. He said, no impression without expression. There's no impression without expression. Pastor Rick Warren said it better when he said, impression without expression leads to depression. You know, impression without expression leads to depression. And Jesus healed people, didn't he? But very often he had them do something to receive that healing. Not that they earned it, not that they deserved it, but he knew that a response to their faith would be good for them. Now, what does Jesus ask us to do once we put our faith in him? Like once you realize that he is the Son of the living God, that he died and was buried and rose again, that he can wash every one of your sins away for all time. And you all of a sudden, your heart is opened up by God's love and you're ready to repent and your desire to receive the grace. that Jesus has provided baptism as a means of expressing your faith. I mean, think about it. When Peter is preaching in Acts 2, you can look at the Bible right now and look at what I'm talking about. Acts 2, Peter is preaching to people who killed Jesus. Now think about that. That's kind of a tough crowd. And he's sitting there going, here's what he says to them in Acts 2, verse 27. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by what? Say it with me. By miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him as, say it with me, as you yourselves know. They were there. They saw the miracles. And they're like, that's right. We were there. We heard about it. Some of us even saw it. In fact, if Jesus had done the miracles today and people recording it, I guarantee you'd break the internet. But Peter went on and said, this Jesus who did these miracles, he was a Messiah, and you crucified him. But then God raised him up on the third day, which every one of them saw. And amazingly, the very people who conspired to kill Jesus 50 days earlier are now coming to Jesus under the conviction of the Holy Spirit for their sin, because they knew that Peter was right. And because they knew Peter was right, here's how they responded. Look what they said. When the people heard this, they were what? Say it with me. They were what? They were cut to the heart. They believed. They were convicted. And said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, say this question with me. What shall we do? What shall we do to be saved is what they're asking. Question. How did Peter respond to their question? Did he go, there's nothing you can do? That's not how he didn't respond that way. Nope. Did he say, just raise your hand? Nope. Here's what he said. Look at the first word. He said, say the first word with me. He said, repent. Repent means change your life, change your behavior, change your thinking from the world to Jesus. And then he said, and be what? And be baptized. Say that word, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think God ordained baptism for many reasons, but one was to meet a need, a public expression of the faith that saves us. Remember, I was telling you about my friend earlier who said, you ain't dunking me? Well, I led him to Acts. I said, hey, once again, don't take my word for it. Let's read what the Bible says. So we went to Acts. He read Acts 2, which you just said, and 3,000 people got baptized right after that. And then he read 8 more conversions, all 9 conversion stories, all of them in the book of Acts, okay? There's only 9. All 9 of them have this rhythm. Trust in Jesus, repentance, baptism. Trust in Jesus, repentance, baptism. Trust in Jesus, repentance, baptism. It does that 9 times in the book of Acts. So he went home, he read, he studied, and guess what happened? He got dunked. Listen, he had loved Jesus for many years. He has served Jesus for many years before he ever heard the New Testament, what the New Testament actually taught about baptism, because he was in a church that did not teach what the New Testament teaches about baptism. And what I love about this guy is when he learned what Jesus wanted him to do, he said, yes, sir. And this is happening all over our country right now. At Auburn University in Alabama, just this school year alone, over 200 students got immersed in Jesus Christ. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And then just right down the road at Tallahassee, over 200 more students got baptized in the fountain there this school year. All right? I think that's pretty amazing. The thought of someone getting saved at Auburn and Florida State shocks me too, okay? I mean, and I'm an Auburn fan. All right? And what's pretty amazing, Greg Laurie's church in California, 4,500 people got baptized in Pirates Cove in California. There's a revolution happening right now. There's an awakening happening, and they're declaring their faith to the world in Jesus Christ, and it's wild, and you can be a part of it. Now, my buddy who didn't want to get dunked, he didn't get converted. He didn't like come to that realization, I need to be baptized, because I told him the baptism means baptizo in the Greek, and that means to dunk until you start bubbling. Okay, that's not what converted him. What changed his mind about baptism was the idea that the natural response of loving Jesus And that Jesus loves me and I love him and I want to be obedient to him. Baptism, it meets our need also for being experienced, for an experience of spiritual cleansing. Did you know that when you embrace a sin pattern, sin habits in your life, it shows up on your face? And one thing, when I was a student pastor, I'd see a kid normally bubbly and joyful. Next thing you know, I see their demeanor change. I'm like, what happened to them? And then I found out months later, they started developing a sin pattern. It was actually tearing them apart because it was tearing up their relationship with God apart. And here's what I'm going to tell you what happens. We embrace sin, it always leaves us feeling spiritually dirty inside, and we call it a guilty conscience. And Jesus said that murder and sexual morality and adultery and stealing and lying and slander make us spiritually unclean from God, and your body and your mind feel it. Which means if your heart is working right, when you do wrong, you feel soiled inside, because you're not lying to yourself anymore. And so in your saner moments, it means we really desire a clear conscience. Like we desire a pure heart, especially when we think about having to stand before a holy God one day. Now there is no amount of positive thinking. No matter how hard you try, there are no man-made solutions that can erase the guilt of sin and purify a guilty conscience that is contaminated by sin. But here's the good news. There is one who can cleanse us of all sin, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Who voluntarily died for your sins and my sins on the cross and then was raised on the third day. Family, the blood of Jesus alone can wipe your sin clean, completely wash your heart and your mind whiter than snow. But only Jesus can do that. Hebrews says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no what? There is no forgiveness. When I was young, I grew up old school. We used to sing the hymns, all right? And it's always song, and one song went like this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Say it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen, when we become a follower of Jesus, we put our trust in him, not through a dead or religious rituals on our part. If you trust in that stuff, you're in trouble. We admit that we can't pay for our sins. We say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died to wash away all of my sins. His forgiveness is the only thing that can make me spiritually clean. And I'm trusting in Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And man, when you get to that place, baptism becomes the refreshing symbol of a cleansing when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, you just see it when people come out of the baptistry. In fact, baptism becomes a drama where you play the part of Jesus, where Jesus died and was buried and rose again. When you get baptized, you die to self, is what you're saying. I'm buried with Christ. And just as Jesus was down for 3 days in that tomb, we hold you down for 3 minutes. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Some of you are like, really? No, we come right out. Like, that's what happens. Like, Jesus came out of the tomb, you come right out of that water, symbolically saying, man, I'm a new person. Because when people get baptized, look at the look on their faces when they come up out of that water. And you want to know why that is? It's a sense of cleansing. I mean, that's what happened to me. That sense of forgiveness and freedom, knowing that Jesus has forgiven me of all of my sins. My past sins, my present sins, even my future sins. And I am now a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul, who is a ruthless persecutor of Christians, who was saved by Jesus, reminded everybody at the end of his ministry of how precious, how wonderful, how important his baptism was in Jesus Christ. In Acts 22:16, after all three missionary journeys, after writing the book of Romans, Paul is still overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude about his baptism. He has to tell everybody about that conversation because the guy who led him to Christ was a man named Ananias. And he said, here's what Ananias said to me. He said this, and now, Paul, what in the world are you waiting for? Get up, say it with me, church. Be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on the name of Jesus. Jesus commanded every one of his disciples to be baptized because he knew we would need a sense of our spiritual cleansing. that the Holy Spirit and what he was doing in our heart. But that's not all. There's more. Baptism, being baptized, meets our need for a benchmark of commitment. Now, several people are seniors in this room, like one of them is my son, and they're graduating. A benchmark is graduation, right? That's a big benchmark of life. Your birthday, even though you were alive 9 months later when you were born, like, we celebrate that birth. Like, that day is your birthday. That is a big, big benchmark. How about your anniversary, right? If you don't think your anniversary is important, just forget one. All right, just miss one. You'll find out if that's an important benchmark or not, all right? But you fell in love, you know, months earlier. But I think about a couple, that girl that raised her hand up, man, I just officiated her wedding. And I tell you what, man, they were in love. But that day when they walked down that aisle and they made those vows before God and each other, and now they walked out of that place, guess what? They said, you know what? We're married now. Everything's different. Everything is different. Let me be clear about something, though. Jesus is a source of salvation, not baptism. Listen, we're not Hindus who think if you dip in the Ganges River, all of a sudden something magical happens. We believe what Paul believed when he told the baptized believers in Ephesus these words right here. For it is by what? It is by grace that you've been saved. Through what, church? Through faith. This is not for yourselves. It is a what? It is the gift of God. What's the gift? Salvation. Salvation. You can't be saved by your own strength. That's why you have to believe. Jesus said these words. He says, whoever believes, there it is, there's that faith, and is baptized will be saved. If you don't believe in Jesus, forget about it. We're not saying that someone who calls the name of the Lord on their deathbed can't be saved because they weren't baptized. You know why we don't say that? Because the New Testament doesn't say that. The New Testament does say that when we trust Jesus, repent, and are baptized in Jesus, we know we have responded to God's grace in the way that God has asked us to respond. So baptism is a benchmark of a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Baptism is not a meritorious work that earns you anything. Listen, me and the pastors do all the stinking work, okay? You don't do anything. Baptism is a response of faith to God's grace. And if that's for you, you will look at your baptism with joy for the rest of your life. Number four, here it is. Being baptized meets our need for humility. Everybody say humility on the count of three. One, two, three. Humility. It's a little hard to say, isn't it? You know, the biggest barrier, I think, between God and people is not intellectual issues. I don't think it's sin. I think the biggest barrier between God and people is pride. The greatest obstacle we have between us and God is our own pride. Everybody say pride on the count of three. One, two, three. Pride. You know what? It takes humility to be honest and say this. I was feeling good about myself because I was comparing myself to a whole bunch of losers around me. But then when I compare myself to Jesus, I realize I'm a moral failure. And I realize I need help to eradicate all of my sins. And I'm coming to you, God. You're my only chance to eradicate my sin. Brothers and sisters, can I just tell you that you will never stand taller than when you bow before the risen Lord Jesus. Peter said these words, God opposes the who? The proud, and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. I think that's why Jesus has us get baptized, because baptism is a pride extinguisher. I've seen all kinds of people in the baptistry, but let me tell you what type of people I've never seen in the baptistry. I've never seen proud people. They may have been proud before, and they may relapse later, but when they're in the baptistry, they are humble. I've seen people walk down with, you know, expensive shirts on. I've seen ladies walk down with great hairdos and makeup, like $200 worth, and they come forward and they get baptized, and he's wearing that, you know, Raised in Life t-shirt, and her hair's a little bit in trouble now. But listen, baptism is humbling, but it's not humiliating. It's a beautiful image of a wise person humbly submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about one of my friends named Chris. He and I just got to know each other after his baptism, and I want you to hear his story after he got baptized. Last baptism week we had a few months ago. Check out this video.
Before baptism week, Chris's spiritual hunger lacked any desire. Every attempt he made at praying with me and worshiping with me and reading the Bible with me. Everything was always an attempt to help me grow, but it was never anything that resonated with him. We multiple times tried many different churches and never returned to them because he didn't feel like that was something that he needed to do or where he needed to be. He had a history of being a young parent and the church turning their back on him. So he didn't feel like he had that desire to move forward because he didn't deserve that. He wanted to build that relationship with God, but every attempt he had, it was always something that did not resonate with him. So he just decided to move away from it and not actually seek out a relationship until we came to RCC. For me, seeing Chris stand up, confess Jesus as Lord, and get baptized was the most overwhelming yet amazing feeling at the exact same time. We had our son there with us who witnessed it as well, and it was just something I didn't think we would ever get to actually see. Baptism wasn't something that we spoke about together. He knew that that's where I wanted him, and I wanted that for our family, but I also knew where he stood when it came to wanting to get baptized. So seeing that happen right in front of us was the most amazing thing that was not in his power, was not in my power. Just, I was shocked. I cried. I screamed. I hollered. It was everything wonderful.
So what happened the day that I responded to getting baptized? It was a normal day at church. Pastor Nate had joked about that a lot of you guys were just here because the Jaguars have a bye week, and I was one of those guys. I was sitting there, and Pastor Nate was telling a story about how John the Baptist and Jesus were baptizing in the river, and that there wasn't a step process. There wasn't a, hey, you have to be this, you have to do that, you have to give this. It was just, you have to believe, and then you can be cleansed with the blood of Jesus. And there was a guy on stage, a testimony kind of like this. His name was Jake, and I kind of resonated with him and how he spoke. It reminded me a little bit of my past and just the feelings I had towards this whole thing. Well, as the service is going on, Pastor Nate was talking about how, hey, let's do it like John the Baptist and Jesus did. You can get baptized at any moment, and if you want to be baptized today, stand up. I don't remember why I stood, other than the feeling of I just had to stand, and everything made sense in that moment of I needed to be here, and this is why I was here today. What my life's like now after being baptized is I feel an inner peace, a peace of mind. I feel happiness. I notice that I try to be a better person throughout the day. I know that this inner peace and happiness I feel is because I know that I'm going to heaven. What I would say to someone who's thinking about getting baptized today is, if you're struggling like I did, where you maybe feel like you're not worthy or you're not good enough, just remember that Paul was Saul. He killed Christians. That's probably the worst thing that anyone could do. And Jesus and God, they forgave him and they loved him. So if you're struggling with it and you're on the fence, just remember that you've tried your way and maybe you've tried someone else's way. It's time to jump in and try God's way.
Can we give God the praise? We're going to do something today we've been praying about. You've been hearing about Jesus, and now it's time to receive him. If you're ready as a leader and forgiver of your life and died for your sins, resurrected out of the tomb for you, and you know what? It's time for you to do something about it. Jesus walked over 100 miles to be immersed in baptism with John the Baptist. And when he got there, John the Baptist is like, I can't baptize you. And Jesus is like, hold on now. It should be done, for we must carry out all that what? All that God requires. And I hope by now you see that baptism is not just an RCC thing, it's a Jesus thing. And I hope that right now, if you've never been baptized, just like Jesus was, I'm going to encourage you to do that right here, right now, today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask everyone to stand. Please stand right now. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the good news of Jesus. I want to ask every follower of Jesus to start praying like crazy for people around them who are going to pray this prayer for the first time. And if this prayer is the first time you're giving your life to Jesus Christ as your leader and forgiver, man, we just want you to know this is a sacred moment. So everyone, bow your head right now. Everybody, bow your head. Repeat after me as we pray to God. Lord Jesus, I now know I need to put my faith in you. I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm willing to change. Jesus, I now humbly offer my life. Please give me the gift of eternal life that you paid for on the cross. Jesus, I'm putting my trust for salvation in you and in you alone. So Lord, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. Take my life and use it any way you choose. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, can we give God the praise for those who prayed that prayer for the first time? And if today or at any point in your life you made a commitment to God but you've never been baptized, I hope you're going to take that step right here, right now, as your leader and your forgiver and your Lord and Savior. He set an example for you, so now it's time to follow. Will you please be seated? Everybody, please be seated right now. So we've been praying about this moment. It's a big, audacious time, and we offer an invitation that you get here at RCC. We're expecting great things from God and great faith from you. And if you have put your faith in Jesus, I want to invite you to be baptized today in the service, just like Chris did right now. Do it in honor of the one who saved you. And you're like, oh, Nathan, I can't do it today. My question is, why not? Well, I haven't taken a baptism class. Listen, this sermon was your baptism class, okay? You go, I don't have anything to wear. We got tons of t-shirts of all sizes, shorts of all sizes waiting for you in the back. You go, I didn't bring a towel. We got towels coming out of our ears. You go, well, I my family's not here. I'm not sure if they're for this. Listen, this is between you and the Lord. And it's always better to obey Jesus just as soon as you know what he wants. That's what I did. You go, family, I would never ask you to do something unless Jesus did it. We want to help you honor the way that Jesus has asked you to honor him. And this is a day you will never forget for the rest of your life. We got everything ready for you, so let me tell you how this is going to work. It's real simple. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. When I say three, you just stand up if you're getting baptized. You got to empty your pride. It's going to take humility. It's going to take courage. And you're saying, Jesus, I'm asking you to fill my life. You just stand, and when you stand, you're going to experience so much love. And I promise you're not going to be the only one doing this today. And so don't let your pride stand in the way. Don't let your hairdo stand in the way. If you feel the heaviness right now in your chest, I want you to know that's the Holy Spirit convicting you to obey. So if you'd like to stand and make this decision today, in honor of the one who rose out of the tomb for you, this is your moment right now. So I'm going to invite you, when I count to three, you just stand. You ready? Here we go. Number one, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen, church. Two, anyone who believes in him will live even if they die. And three, won't you stand up right now if you're making that decision to be baptized today? Go ahead and stand up right now, just as Jesus stood at the tomb. Can we just praise God, family? Praise God. It's not too late. You can still join them. All heaven is rejoicing for your decision right now. So, I'm going to invite all of you to say this confession of faith. So say standing, if you're standing right now, let's say this confession of faith together. Here we go. Say it with me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Say it with me. I believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again on the third day, and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can we give God the praise for that confession of faith right now? Amen. So I want to encourage you right now, everybody come forward. If you're standing right now, come forward right now. Just come forward if you're standing, and then head to your right. Head to your left. I'm sorry, my right. Head to your left. And over there, Pastor Anthony's waiting for you. And as they're heading that way, can we give God the praise? Can we just encourage them, support them? As they're heading that way right now, this is going to be awesome right now. Nothing better. All heaven's rejoicing. So church family, everybody else, please stand right now. Everybody else, please stand. We're going to worship our Father. We're going to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in this room as we watch the baptisms of our brothers and sisters. Can we give God the praise again? What a great day.